the divine souls. In explaining Shri Krishna's leelas as they're told in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, I've been explaining about the time when Shri Krishna sent Uddhavji to meet with the gopis in Vraj. I told you that there are several classes of saints, depending what form of Shri Krishna they've attained and what relationship they have with him. Uddhav was a jnani. So his mind was ever absorbed in Nirakar Brahm. A bhakta saint is one who has attained the personal form of God, Sakar Brahm. Bhakta saints are further divided into classifications according to which form of Sakar Brahm they have attained. Chiefly, there are two types, almighty forms and divine love forms. Almighty forms include Shivji, of course Vishnu, Durga, all these almighty forms. And then the loving forms are Ram and Krishna. Those who have attained Ram or Krishna, they get an added benefit, you could say, that they get to participate in their leelas. And there's a special ras in the leelas. From the bliss of formless God that we call Brahmanand to the bliss of the personal form of God in his almighty forms called Aishwaryanand to the bliss of Ram and Krishna's leelas, which we call Premanand, there's not a difference in amount. They're all unlimited. But there's a qualitative difference. There's a special quality to the ras that you get in Shri Krishna's leelas. It has been compared to if you have a, let's say you have a flower and it's in a bud form, a rose flower, which would have a beautiful fragrance if it's an Indian rose, but the bud isn't open. So the bud is nice to look at, but it's not revealing all of its inner qualities. When it starts to open, it's a partial bloom. It's revealing some fragrance, some color, some beauty. But when it's a full bloom, the blossom is fully realized, you could say. Then it's revealing its complete fragrance and color and beauty. All of its qualities are fully revealed. This is like Nirakar Brahm, the bud form. Almighty God, the partial bloom. And Shri Krishna, the full bloom. They're one and the same. They're not three different things, but three different states of that one entity. The ras of Shri Krishna's leelas, what is the special quality in them? To explain that, Jagatguru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj gives an analogy in the world. He says, God's bliss is unlimited, whatever form of bliss you get. But think of it in terms of fragrance. The chandan tree, the sandalwood tree, the wood is so fragrant. Could you imagine if that tree actually produced a flower? What would be the fragrance of that flower? It doesn't have a flower, but if it did, that flower would be like Shri Krishna's leelas, the ras you get from those leelas. Similarly, sugar cane itself is very sweet. Could you imagine if sugar cane bore fruit? What would the fruit of the sugar cane be like? Beyond imagination. That's like the ras of Radha Krishna's leelas. So although there is no difference in the amount of bliss. Matra mein koi antar nahi hai, lekin premanand mein, Radha Krishna ki leelaon ke ras mein ek vilakshanta hai, jo brahmanand mein bhi nahi hai aur aishwaryanand mein bhi nahi hai. So to try to explain this, Rup Goswami has said, Brahmanando bhavedesh chet parardha guni kritah naiti bhakti sukham bodhe paramanu tulamapi. He says, take Brahmanand, the bliss of Nirakar Brahm that the jnanis enjoy. Take that unlimited bliss on one side, and on the other side, just take one paramanu of that. One of premanand. Of, he calls it bhakti. It means the divine bhakti. So over here you have the ocean of bhakti, the ocean of Shri Krishna's ras, of his divine love leelas. Take one paramanu, a tiny micro particle of that premanand. And over here, take brahmanand and multiply it by one parardh. A parardh is 155 trillion. It's a little more than that. So that much brahmanand compared to one fraction of a particle of premanand, natulamapi. You still can't compare the two. That even that much premanand feels like far more than that unlimited ocean of brahmanand. So although there's no quantitative difference, but still, to try to make us understand, he says it in this way. So anyway, I've given you the technical background to be able to understand what Shri Krishna was sending Uddhavji into. Shri Krishna, it is stated in the Bhagavatam, yatha paramahansa nam muni nam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhanartham katham pasye mahistriyah. Kunti Devi says that one of the reasons for Shri Krishna's avatar is to make paramahansas into Shri Paramahans by giving them bhakti. A paramahans means a jnani whose mind is fully absorbed in brahmanand. So those paramahans, if they leave their body in that state, they enter the state of moksha and they never experience the ras of Radha Krishna's leelas. Ever. No chance. So to make that paramahans into a Shri Paramahans by giving them his premanand, Shri Krishna takes avatar. That's one of the reasons for his avatar. So he's thinking, here it is stated in the scriptures that one of my reasons for coming on this earth is to make give jnanis the chance to experience the ras of premanand, and here's my personal friend and advisor in Mathura who's bereft of that. And if I tell him about it, he's not going to accept that from me because he looks at me as a friend. So I have to somehow arrange this for him. So he sent him to the gopis. And the gopis are those topmost rasik mahapurush. They have that premanand that makes brahmanand look like nothing. And not only that, within that vast field of premanand, they have the topmost classification, being samartha rati madhurya bhav saints of Shri Krishna, which is why only the gopis are qualified to enter into maharas and experience other amazingly sweet Leelas of Radha Krishna that happen in Kunj, Nikunj, Nibhrit Nikunj of Vrindavan. So he's sending Uddhav to the acharyas of bhakti. Meaning if you want to learn bhakti, go to a gopi. There could be no greater professor in the whole universe than a gopi to teach you about bhakti. But Uddhav is thinking, I'm a jnani. I have studied Vedas. On the basis of those Vedas, I have renounced this world. I have no attachments remaining. My mind is always absorbed in the knowledge, aham brahmasmi, I am Brahm. Because formless God pervades me, there is no separation between me and Brahm. So Uddhav has that jnanabhiman. He has the false pride of his knowledge, and he thinks he knows everything there is to know about Shri Krishna. So Shri Krishna is sending him to someone who knows far more than he knows. Their experience far exceeds anything he's ever experienced, and yet he thinks he's going to teach them. This is what Shri Krishna has told him, that the gopis are very attached to me, Uddhav. They don't understand this, you know, this Brahma Gyan you have, that main Brahma hu, or kisi se attachment nahi karna hai. Don't attach your mind anywhere in the world. Just know that you are God. They don't have this knowledge, Uddhav. That's why they're suffering in my separation. Can you go and teach them? Oh, yes, sure, yes. Illiterate women of Braj, I'll go and give them my knowledge. So Uddhav is going with one thing in mind, and Shri Krishna knows something else is going to happen. So he reaches Braj, and it was late afternoon. Unbeknownst to anyone else, he spent the night with Nanda Baba and Yashoda. Before going, Uddhav had asked Shri Krishna that, what if when I meet your mother, Yashoda Maiya, what if she asks me, why hasn't my son come back to me? Or will he come back to me? When will he come back to me? It's been many years. So Shri Krishna said, you know, Uddhav, it's like this. When Putana came to me, she had smeared poison on her breast. So she fed me poisoned milk with the intention of killing me. And I drank that milk. And as a reward for coming to me as a mother, I considered her my mother, I gave her my divine abode. I don't have any bigger thing than that. If someone says, okay, you gave her your divine abode, I want something better. There's nothing bigger and better than that. So when I gave my divine abode to Vish Pilane Wali Putana, when Maya, Yashoda Maya, has fed me, made me drink nectar-like milk, then what could I give to her? I have nothing left to give to her, so it means I'm indebted to her. How can I go back without anything to pay that debt? My whole life, she raised me, kept me, gave me affection, gave me her nectar-like milk to drink, and what do I have to offer her in return? Nothing. So in one of Kripaluji Maharaj's Pad Kirtan, he says, just like if in a town there's someone who builds up a big debt, he might run away from that town. And only when he gets enough money to pay off his debt, then he'll come back. And until then, he stays away. In the same way, Shri Krishna has gone out of Braj and is not coming back because of the weight of that debt. So he explained to Uddhav that this is what you tell Maya, that when I have something to repay that debt, then I'll come back directly and see her. So he spent the night talking with Yashoda Maya, Nanda Baba. And in the morning, he did his prayers, did his morning routine, and gopis noticed. Gopis are also up early churning the butter, churning the curd to make butter. And once it got light enough, they noticed this beautiful golden chariot parked outside of Yashoda and Nanda Baba's, and they thought, this must be someone from Mathura. Who else would be driving such an amazing chariot? And if it's someone from Mathura, they must have news of our beloved Krishna. So they went and they saw Uddhav. Now, Uddhavji is meeting gopis. Uddhav also brought a letter from Shri Krishna. Shri Krishna himself wrote a letter to the gopis and sent it with Uddhav. Not only were the gopis there, Radharani was there. All the gopis surrounded Uddhav and started questioning him about Shri Krishna. How is he? Is he happy? How is he doing? What is he doing? Is our beloved keeping well? And when Uddhav pulled out the letter, the gopis said, oh, this is from Krishna. Here, let me read it. So one gopi tries to read. And seeing that Shri Krishna has written this letter with his own hand, she can't even say the first word of the letter. She's got tears streaming down her face and she can't even see what's written. So the gopi beside her takes it and starts trying to read a few words. She also can't finish the letter. The next gopi takes it. In this way, Uddhav is now, he's just standing and watching. And he's seeing the depth of the love gopis have for Shri Krishna. Now at this point, he's still thinking it's just like the same as our material attachment. He doesn't realize what he's seeing. Over here, Radharani, alag se baithi hai. She's sitting on the side, and she is in her own state of samadhi. There are eight stages, eight classes of divine love that premanand I told you about, or divine bhakti, siddha bhakti. It's divided into prema bhakti, sneha bhakti, mana bhakti, pranaya bhakti, raga bhakti, anuraga bhakti, Bhavavesh Bhakti, and the eighth one, Mahabhav Bhakti. Of all those stages, only the Smartharati Madhurya Bhav gopis reach to the Mahabhav Bhakti. And of course, Radha Krishna are always in Mahabhav Bhakti. But even Mahabhav has different classifications. So you have Rudha Mahabhav, and you have Adhirud Mahabhav. Adhirud is higher. Adhirud Mahabhav is also of two types. Madan and Modan. Modan in Viraha. See, Madan and Modan, they're both experienced in Milan with Shri Krishna. But in Viraha, that Modan ras becomes Mohan ras. And Mohan ras, in a further elevated state, is called Divyonmad. And there are 10 states of this Divyonmad avastha of Radharani. They're given names like Ujjalp, Sujalp, Pratijalp. There's 10 different states. So these are states Radharani goes into when she's in Viraha of Shri Krishna. And these are such high states that no gopi reaches. even Shri Krishna doesn't reach. There's one more state beyond that called Madanakya Mahabhav. That's Radharani's reserved seat. Even Shri Krishna doesn't, his mind drowns before he can experience or know about that Madanakya state. So Radharani is in these 10 states of Divyonmad. This is revealed in a song called the Bhramar Geet. She's sitting off on the side. Uddhavji notices and he sees her talking to a bumblebee. And this bumblebee has come from Shri Krishna. He's a messenger from Shri Krishna. And she's chastising this bumblebee. That you go back to your master. The words don't reveal, you would say you would have to be a gopi saint of that class to work, to read those shlokas. It's just 10 shlokas makes up Bhramar Geet. And in each shloka, Radharani is entering into a different state of that Divyonmad. Each shloka represents one of those states. So she's just talking to the bumblebee. And she's going through these states of Mahabhav, which means these are states of samadhi, states of absorption in the divine love, divine ras. And Uddhav is over here in his Brahmanand, which is just like a flat line. And all the way, you have Brahmanand, Aishwaryanand, Premanand, then 8 stages of Premanand, the highest one being Mahabhav, and even within that, Rood, Adhirood, Madan, Modan, Mohan, Divyonmad. So he has no idea what he's witnessing. If Uddhavji would have no idea, what would we know by reading 10 shlokas in the Bhagavatam? What Radharani is saying to this bumblebee? Uddhavji, though, has enough humbleness to realize that there's something going on here that is beyond his intellect. So he's now starting to get a little bit of a glimpse that there's more than just, this is not just simple attachment like what you see in the world. In fact, they're worlds apart. Attachment to Shri Krishna versus attachment in the world, they're like opposites. Attachment in the world leads to rebirth in the world. Attachment to Shri Krishna, even in the case of Kubja, which I told you, where she just had concern for her own self, I'll be so happy if I get to be with Shri Krishna. So, Veda Vyasji writes, Krishna Bhakti sakamopi varunya sevakat khalu nishkamadapi tatkamo yato mokshaya kalpate. He says, a sakam bhakt of Shri Krishna, a devotee with a desire for their own personal happiness, not someone who asks the world of Shri Krishna, that's not a sakam bhakt, that's just a sakam. A sakam bhakt of Shri Krishna, who desires him but for one's own happiness, is better than a nishkam bhakt of any person or devta who's under maya. Because even if you had perfectly selfless love, perfect nishkam prem for any maya badh jeev, you'll be reborn under maya. You're only multiplying your worldly bondage. But if you have even sakam prem, sakam bhakti for Shri Krishna, you'll be released from maya and you'll get unlimited divine bliss. You'll be amazed that even Shukadev Paramahans, who's a janma jat jnani Paramahans, from the moment he was born, his mind was absorbed in Brahmanand. He never had any attachment for this world. He says to Parikshit in the Bhagavatam about Kubja, Duraradhyam samaradhya Vishnum sarveshvareshvaram. Yo vrinite manograhya masatvat kumanishyasau. He says that desire Kubja had for Shri Krishna, that is not within the field of sattva raj tam of this world. No, that's beyond this. That desire led to her attaining divine bliss and being free from maya. Kubja reached farther than where those jnanis get, who just get moksha. So, Shukdev Paramahansa is praising Kubja. If he's praising Kubja, then we can imagine. She who is just at the level of Sadharani Rati Madhurya Bhav, what could be the height of the gopis, and what would be the level of respect he has for them? Shri Krishna himself says, Mayyaveshitadhyam kama kamaya kalpate bharjita kvathita dhana prayo bijaya neshyate. He's talking about the effect of desiring him or having the mind attached to him. He says, if you desire me, what ends up happening is all of your worldly desires get cooked. Like if you have chana and you put that in the oven and bake it, then can it ever sprout again? No. In the same way, if you desire me wholeheartedly, all of your mayic desires get baked. They can never sprout again. Such a powerful effect of loving Shri Krishna. So the gopis are loving Shri Krishna. Not just in a devotional phase like we are, they're now in that divine state. So Uddhavji is starting to realize, but he's still doing his duty as sent by Shri Krishna, and he's saying, okay, now gopis, would you like some gyan? You're missing your beloved Krishna so much. Let me try to help you. You should, instead of attaching your mind to him, just take your mind and think, I am Brahm, and leaving all the attachments, just think of formless Brahm. Gopis say, Udhoji manana bhaye das bis. Oh, Udhoji, we only have one mind. And your friend took our hearts with him when he went to Mathura. Took our minds with him when he went to Mathura. So with what mind will we remember your Nirakar Brahm? Our mind is gone with him. Yes, but gopis, attachment leads to suffering. You should do yoga. Follow the path of jnan. So gopis listened for quite a while. But eventually, they put Uddhavji in his place. They told him, Uddhav, you believe you have knowledge of God? Your knowledge of God is still adhura. It's still incomplete. Because you only believe God to be formless. We know that your same God, formless God, is here with us now in the form of Shri Krishna. You think Shri Krishna is in Mathura? Uddhav, you're wrong. He's here with us now. You can't see him. But we see him. We know that Shri Krishna is omnipresent. You think only his divine formless effulgence of his body is omnipresent. No, no. He is omnipresent in his personal form. So your knowledge, Uddhav, is very little. In fact, what you should do is take what knowledge you have, go down to the bank of Yamunaji and throw it in the river. Come back to Radharani and bow to her feet. Surrender your intellect. And Uddhav did just that. he forgot about his knowledge. He surrendered to Radharani, to the gopis. He made those gopis his guru. And with their grace, he saw Krishna everywhere here in Braj. Oh, he never left Braj? Mujhe bhram tha ki Mathura chale gaye the. Nay, he's right here now with gopis. So, this whole leela of the viraha of gopis, I explained to you that that's part of the divine experience. Sometimes you feel milan, sometimes you feel viraha. It was fulfilling part of Shri Krishna's purpose to reveal that viraha of gopis. Because seeing the extent of gopis' longing, you can guess the extent of their love for Shri Krishna. If your beloved is far away and you haven't seen them in a long time and you don't feel but a small pang of longing to meet them again, it means you only have that much love for them. The amount of love can be told by the amount of longing, the amount of viraha to meet your beloved. So, part of what Shri Krishna wanted to do was to make it known what the greatness of gopis is. So that was revealed through partly through their viraha. They also taught the souls that you can do devotion like this. See how we're pining for Shri Krishna? You can also do that. So adopting those feelings of viraha, trying to develop that longing for Shri Krishna, that's a part of devotion. Shunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji says, when you get to that extreme extent of longing where tears are streaming continuously from your eyes, and the whole world seems shunya to you without your Govinda by your side, then that's when you know your heart has been purified and you're very close to meeting your beloved face to face. So developing that viraha becomes a lot easier when you see the example of the gopis. Even though we're not at their level, but in our Roop Dhyan, we can think like a gopi. We can try to emulate the feelings of the gopis in our own devotion. So Uddhavji was graced by Radharani and the gopis to now realize a higher state of knowledge. Before, he only knew that formless God was everywhere. And now he understood that Shri Krishna, who is the basis of formless God, is also omnipresent. And he experienced that premanand of Shri Krishna with the grace of gopis. He stayed in Braj for months. 6 months passed. And it felt like a couple of days for him. Because he was so absorbed, he was just wandering around, being with Krishna, seeing Krishna's leelas, longing for Krishna, like the gopis. And one day he asked a gopi, how long have I been here? Oh, Uddhavji, you've been here for 6 months. So then Uddhav is thinking, Krishna sent me here to deliver a message to the gopis and go back. He must be wondering what happened to me. Of course, Krishna knew, he hoped, exactly what would happen. So Uddhav, now that he's somewhat come to his senses, he praised gopis. Kvema striyo vanacharir vyabhichar dushta krishne kvachaish paramatmani rudh bhava Nandishvaro nubhajato vidusho pisakchat chreyastano tyagadara jaivopayukta. The gopis If you just look with your physical eyes, you see uneducated ladies who live in the forest who loved Sri Krishna. But the effect of loving Sri Krishna, he says, is like taking the king of all medicines. It doesn't matter what your level of knowledge is about the qualities of that medicine. If you make use of it, you get the effect of it. So the gopis love Sri Krishna with a pure love. They loved Sri Krishna with all of their heart. So they received the effect of Sri Krishna. Nayam Shri Onga Unitantarate Prasada Swaryoshitan Nalinagandharu Chankutonya Rasotsavesya Bhujadanda Grihita Kantha Labdha Shishamya Udayad Vraja Sundarinam. Gopis attain to that state which is not even realized by Mahalakshmi, what to say of the maidens of Swarg. They got entrance to the Ras Leela and got to have Sri Krishna's arm around their neck. What to say of the greatness of the gopis? Asa maho charana renu jusha mahansyam vrindavane kimapi gulmalatau shadhinam yadustyajan svajanamarya pathancha hitva bhejur mukunda padavim shruti bhirvimrigyam. Oh, if I could be born as a plant or a creeper or a vine or a bush in Vrindavan so that I could get the foot dust of the gopis on my head, I would consider myself to be the most fortunate. Those gopis who ignored all the social customs and just loved Sri Krishna wholeheartedly, those gopis whose foot dust is to this day sought after by the richas of the Vedas, but they can't reach that high. They can't qualify for the foot dust of the gopis. Oh, that I could be born as some kind of plant in Vrindavan so I could receive the foot dust of the gopis. In this way, Uddhav was blessed by Sri Krishna to go to Vraj and meet the gopis. There have been hundreds and thousands of kirtans written by great rasic saints over the last few thousand years describing the exact details of this encounter between Uddhavji and the gopis. Our own Kripaluji Maharaj has written dozens of Uddhav Pad Kirtan in the Viraha Madhuri of Prem Ras Madira. So if you want to read more of the details, you can go in Prem Ras Madira, turn to the Viraha section, and just see all the pads that start with Udho, Udho, and then just read all the conversations between Uddhavji and the gopis. And through this Leela, we also learn about the greatness of Premanand, the greatness of Sri Krishna's Leelas, and we also get inspiration to attain that for ourselves. Uddhav's wish was granted. When Sri Krishna was leaving this earth, he called Uddhavji and he gave him instructions. He taught him philosophy. Uddhav got to ask questions and Sri Krishna gave the answers. It's called the Uddhav Gita. It's the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. All these leelas are in the 10th canto. In the 11th canto, this whole conversation between Sri Krishna and Uddhav took place, where just before leaving the earth, when he was just going to leave, Dwarika had been destroyed, flooded, and Sri Krishna, before leaving the earth, or it was about to be destroyed, just before he left the earth, he called Uddhava and taught him. And after teaching him, he sent him to Badrika Ashram. Go and stay in that holy place. And he's still there today. But in another form, Uddhavji stays in Braj. As a plant living on the very bottom skirt of Govardhan Hill at Kusum Sarovar. Behind Kusum Sarovar, there's a forest and the beginning of Govardhan Hill. So he lives on that area. And one time, after Shri Krishna had left, all the queens of Dwarika, they were desiring to enter into Shri Krishna's divine abode and rejoin him. So, Shandilya Muni told them that for that, you'll have to listen to the Bhagavatam. You have to listen to Shri Krishna's Leelas. And the perfect person to tell you that is Uddhava. So they said, where is Uddhava? He said, he lives at Kusum Sarovar, in amongst all the bushes on the edge of Govardhan Hill. So go over there and do a Naam Sankirtan program. So they all went, they arranged, thousands of people went, and of course all the queens. And they started doing a big kirtan program, singing Shri Krishna's name. And before long, Uddhavji appeared out of the bushes, walking in his human form, and came and joined their kirtan, and then they prepared a proper asana for him, and he sat down, and for 1 month, he told the leelas of Shri Krishna in the form of the Bhagavatam. And after hearing those leelas, all the queens entered into Shri Krishna's divine abode. So they've disappeared from Braj and entered into the divine abode where they could experience Shri Krishna's leelas eternally. So this is the leela of Uddhavji meeting the gopis. Tomorrow, we only have 2 days left, but tomorrow I'll continue and tell you about the time when the queens of Dwarika, Rukmini, Satyabhama, etc., got the chance to actually meet not only the gopis, but Radharani. There was a big festival happening in Kurukshetra. It was after the Mahabharata war had happened. There was a big festival happening in Kurukshetra. And at that time, in that place, they all met. And in fact, Shri Krishna even met the gopis and Radha. It had been 100 years since he had left Braj. So they all met there. What happened during that leela, I'll discuss with you tomorrow. Boliye Vrindavan Bihari Lal Ki.